Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Marr.
Well, she's finally had a moment. She's been here Friday, how long Celeste has been here now. But she's finally put a tiny toenail out of place. Paul Pupopolo. Come on, Celeste, you're better than that. Paul Pupopolo. It's been a huge day, hasn't it, for the Hawthorn Footy Club. Massive day for the Hawthorn Football Club. We'll get some sense from Hawthorn supporters about the con. Maybe we'll wait till next week to get a sense of the contribution that the likes of Stratton and Puopolo have made to the Hawthorn Footy Club. The teams they've been part of and the success they've enjoyed need no spelling out, do they? And the roles they played as part of that fantastic group of players that won those, you know, four but three in a row in particular. Graham Wright, General Manager of Footy Ops at the Hawthorn Footy Club, has been there since 2007. I can't believe that, Graham. I just asked Jules to ask you when you started. That's a lifetime in footy. You've been there for this into your 14th year. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Bob, how are you guys going?
Yeah, good, coming Graham. Well, mate. 2007, it feels like a long time ago that you started there.
It's a lifetime ago, but March feels like a long time ago at the moment. But yeah, it's been a hell of a long time, obviously, at Hawthorn, but been a fantastic period of time of my life, and obviously through a real successful period for the club too. So that's been great, but we've got some challenges now.
So does it feel, we'll talk about the two fellas that are, you know, finishing up, you know, next week in a moment. In the time that you've been there, Graham, does this feel like the most challenging period from a list management, list development perspective, you know, in your time at the footy club?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Back at the end of 16 when Sam and Jordan left, and obviously Hodgie not long after that, Ruff, those sort of guys, that's challenging, obviously, from one point of view, but we were still going okay on field, and bringing in obviously Tom and Jager in that time, and Wingard and a few others. But yeah, certainly we've you know, never been this far down the ladder. So at the moment we've got pick three, and in my time it's that's the lowest pick we've ever had.
So what have you developed a strategy? It might be more complex than just having one slogan sort of, you know, campaign that you're going to take into the off period. But have you developed a strategy for how you're going to go about it from the end of this season? Is it going to be youth led? Will you be going down this road where you keep trying to bring the ready mades in and, you know, get back up to where you want to be sooner rather than later? Will it be a combo of both? Have you got a sense for where you're at?
Yeah, we like to think so. We certainly haven't been good enough, and obviously, you know, obviously the two boys announcing their retirements today, and a sort of changing of the guard, so to speak. There's no doubt that you know, we will and do need to get some youth into the club, and we've never ignored the draft. I mean, under the draft rules, you have to have three picks every year, so we've never ignored the draft, but we've tried to use different mechanisms, whether they be trade or free agency, to bring players in. And the same again now. I don't think you ignore that. I think if you're going into this period with just one, I suppose, philosophy in mind, or just one way to go about it, you might miss an opportunity as well. So from an overall perspective, we'll certainly invest in the draft, but we'll be open-minded to what might be out there as well.
Graham, has that broader plan, has that sort of changed as the season has slipped away with the form of the Hawks?
Yes and no. I think we went into this period of the year, or sorry, this season 2020, with only 22 players contracted, I think, beyond 2020. Mm. So we always knew that there was a potential chance that we were going to transition into a development phase or getting younger, whatever you'd like to call it. So we always knew that was a possibility. We certainly started the year 3-1, I think, before we left Melbourne, and we'd beaten Brisbane and Richmond in that time, and we'd had a bad loss to Geelong, but we'd been okay, and we certainly had hopes of finishing higher up on the ladder than we are now. So it does change from an overall perspective, but I think pressure comes on to look at change and potentially make change when you don't win and you're a mature list, and that's what we are. you know, Geelong are basically the same age as us, but they've been winning. So that that pressure comes from outside, but we've always had an eye on the future and know that, you know, we're going to have to make some changes, and you know, we'll head down that path over this year, next year, the next sort of 2 to 3 years, really.
With the news of the retirements today, Graham, it leaves the captaincy vacant. Are you clear in your mind of who you think it'll be next year?
Not really, no. We haven't really put a lot of thought into that, to be honest. We've got seven guys who've been on the in the leadership group with Strats, and you would think it probably comes out of that group of players, but I haven't thought to... There's been a lot more going on, obviously, and I haven't thought too long and hard about that at this stage, but it's certainly something we need to be cognizant of as we go through the next couple of months about who's going to be the next leader of the footy club, and it's going to be important, and it's a big role. Yeah, you know yourself, any captain of an AFL club comes with a lot of responsibility, one, to lead the playing group, but also, two, to be a figurehead of the club. So it's a big responsibility and something we need to put a lot of time into over summer.
How do they get appointed at Hawthorn, Graham? What's the process?
Generally, it's been the playing group have a vote on it. And then, obviously, coaches and myself in the last few years, but certainly coaches and coach have a say in that as well. And then, obviously, it needs to be ticked off at board level. But that's generally how we've run it.
Have you got a good handle on, you know, list sizes and salary cap, whatever it's going to look like? I'm sure you would want to know. I'm sure you must be getting to people in your position and getting to a point where you kind of need to know. Have you got a strong inkling as to what it's going to look like?
No. Well, I mean, I think we all believe that it'll be phased in over a couple of years, the changes, and it sounds like the AFL want to bring it down by, I'm not sure, potentially 4, 6 or 8 over a 3 year period. But where it sits for next year, we don't know at this stage. We presume it's only going to be a minor cut, whether it be 2 or 3 in this first year. And then obviously there's ongoing discussions with the PA about salary cap as well. But overall, we're like everyone else. We're a little bit up in the air where it sits right now. And it makes it really difficult when you're dealing with players who are out of contract. And then also, too, you know, what you're looking at outside and how many draft picks you want to have. We've always had the philosophy, you start where you finish, so how many, which basically means how many draft picks do you want to have, and then you work back from there. But when you don't know list sizes, that makes it hard, too.
It sure does. We're talking to Graham Wright, footy ops manager at Hawthorn. You mentioned, and I'm trying to read the language around the mentioning of the number 3 pick. I want to assume that you're pretty excited about having a pick like that in your pocket. You haven't had many of those, as you mentioned before, for quite some time. Is it a given that you take that to the draft table, or are you quite open to seeing what might come your way for it?
Well, as I said, in my time, we haven't had a pick that early. Mark McKenzie, who's our national recruiting manager, and his team are a lot more excited than I am right at the moment about it. But I think it'll be hard work, hard work getting it off them, I would have thought. I would have thought we'll be going to the draft with that pick. And you know, really excited in the vision that I've watched of the players since I've been away. There looks like some fantastic talent at the top end. Obviously, Victoria not... having any games this year makes it really hard to rate where those guys would have got to and their development. But also, too, there'd be players that we didn't really know a hell of a lot about last year that would have jumped up during this year. But I'm sure they'll get picked up if they don't this year. They'll have another opportunity next year. But, yeah, it looks like a really exciting group, that sort of first 5, 6 or 7 players.
And the two fellas that, you know, play their last game for the footy club, they've represented your club with such great distinction over a period of time, Ben Stratton and Paul Pioppolo. Was it entirely their decisions, Graham? Did you let them make that before there was any need for anyone at the footy club to sit down and discuss, you know, life beyond 2020?
Yeah, pretty much. Those conversations are always, as you get older and you're out of contract, they're always sort of ongoing. What does this year look like? What does next year look like? Where are we going as a footy club? Those conversations are ongoing with Clark and myself and the players. So over the whole year, that's been happening. And it's happened in previous years to that. So they were both really gracious in the fact that they felt that their time at the footy club was up, and both pleasingly last night they announced it to the playing group and staff who were here, and they're both really comfortable with their decisions and feel that they're pretty excited to move on with what the future holds for them outside of the AFL. So that's a great thing, you know, that in their own minds they feel like they've made the right call. But I think the football club has to be involved in the decision, but you know, where it sits with those individuals, it was a pretty easy decision for them in the end.
Yeah, are there ongoing conversations of that type with other senior players, veteran players at the footy club at the moment?
Yeah, there is, but we always treat those as ongoing and private, and it's not
sure.
Not just players who are getting older. As I said before, we've got a number of players who are out of contract as well. So those conversations are happening all the time, and we're in the middle of doing exits at the moment with all of our players. So basically, we'll finish our game on Sunday, and then everyone will head their separate ways Monday. So those conversations are happening during exits and you know, medicals, coaching, welfare that happen at every club. So they're happening and ongoing, but at this stage, it's the two boys who have announced their retirements last night.
If you've reached this sort of moment where you know you have to decide, okay, we pretty seismic change is needed around here, and you've mentioned there's a lot of players out of contract already, so that, you know, there could be a pretty significant very different looking list next year than the one we've seen this year. If clubs were to come at you, Graham, and ask about out of contract or in contract veteran players at the footy club, who they would be prepared to, you know, take off Hawthorn and give a bit back, obviously, for their services. Is that something you'd be open to talking about in the attempt to get draft picks back in, or maybe some younger talent into the group?
What, the goodness of their heart, they'd take them off their hands? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, well, no.
It's probably really nice.
Always thought it was a bit more combative than that, but nice.
Look, we'll do you a favour. Look, we don't want to give away too much for him, but we understand you're looking at. You're trying to get a few draft picks in. Look, that Luke Bruce fella, you know, we wouldn't mind him. I'm not asking about specific, but is that a type of place you see yourself in?
Oh no, not. Oh, I mean, you know, if you're talking about. Yeah, those sort of guys, Bruce, Gunston, Shields, those sort of guys are
pretty. Yeah, that's
been outstanding players for us, and they've been really good players for us. And at the moment, we need every good player we can get. You know, our year obviously we've had some injuries over the last sort of 6 or 7 weeks, but prior to that, we hadn't, and our year hasn't been good enough. And I think we're pretty much on notice as a footy club that it's been unacceptable. You know, we've all been in the hub environment, and there's a whole range of excuses you could make around it, but in the end, we haven't been good enough and we need to be better. And that's in all areas of the footy club, not just the playing group. That's coaching, that's medical, welfare, recruiting. A whole lot of us need to get better. And the last thing, you know, we'd want to do is think, okay, we'll take away two or three of our best players and feel like we can get value for them. That's not what we're about.
Graham, with the well-publicised cuts to the soft cap and footy departments, we've been reading about the trauma that's caused at your football club. Will you just be sort of cutting so you get less, or will you sort of be rebuilding the entire footy department and redefining roles and slicing it up that way?
Yeah, there has to be a redefining of roles across just about every area. I think it's about a 36 or 37% cut to the soft cap, which is a huge number. And obviously, you lose a hell of a lot of people. And we announced a few last week or the week before that were unfortunately not going to be part of what we're doing going forward, and through no fault of their own. Just basically high-quality people who unfortunately find themselves out of a job because we can't... you know, we can't go over 6.2 million. So that'll mean that we have to change things up a little bit. And, you know, we know across the board there's cuts to just about every area, but pleasingly most of that has been done. And we look forward to going into next year with some redefining of roles, but also too, how are we going to, we've had one of our recruiting guys here doing the property for us. Doing a bit of recruiting on the other side of that. So how are we going to do that going forward, or how are we going to fill that role for us, is a really difficult one. There might be more volunteers or more honorariums or interns come in to help and that sort of thing. I think it's going to be a real changing of the guard, the way that clubs basically try and run a professional football club, the way that we've done it in the past and with a lot less money. It's going to make it really difficult. But we're all in the same boat, and we've all just got to make it work and put a product out there. I was part of a group at the start of the year that put together some stuff to the AFL around, what it might mean for development and diversity and those sorts of things by cutting too far. I mean, I think that's a real concern for the industry that, a lot of these players need a hell of a lot of development and take a long time to come through, and how we're actually going to do that going forward with a soft cap as big as we've got is going to be really interesting. And I think there's going to be a lot of innovation around the way we do things, but manpower and legs on the ground is just going to make it really hard. But we just have to work our way through it like everyone else.
Incredibly challenging time. Just last one before we let you go. We saw the announcement about Sean Burgoyne in 2021. Can you give us a sense for the role playing, obviously, but beyond that you see Sean fulfilling in 2021 and hopefully a bit beyond?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a real whole of club decision, really, around what, one, what Sean's meant to us, but also two, what we feel he can do into the future, and not just around playing. I think he's played 388 or 89 games, so
unbelievable.
He's not that far away from the 400, which we'd love him to get to. But he's fully aware that may or may not happen, depending on form and his body and how things go. But certainly the role he can play off the field is enormous in the Indigenous space, and being part of our Indigenous programs that we have at the club is an ongoing and growing area. And him being, one, the face of that, but also, two, playing a massive role in it. He's so passionate about Indigenous wellbeing and health and education, and it just had a real synergy with the football club that we keep him involved with us for as long as we possibly can. So the playing is one side of it. And if you know Sean, he's hell-bent on having his body in the best possible shape he can to play 22 games next year. Might be 17. We don't know. He's hell-bent on playing every possible game he can, and then seeing where he finishes from a games perspective, but how he can help us. And I know our other Indigenous players, Jarman and Chad and these guys just look up to Sean so much, as do all Indigenous players, but not just Indigenous players. I think we're all fans of Absolutely. Sean Burgoyne and what he's meant to the competition. And he's unashamedly been one of my favourites here at Hawthorn. He's just one of those guys that you can rely upon every single week. But what he can offer off the field post his football career is something we'd like to be heavily involved in as well.
A lot going on, Graham. Thanks for being so generous with your time. We appreciate it. Good luck.
No worries at all. Thanks, guys.
Graham Wright, General Manager of Footy Ops at Hawthorn. If you've got a sense for where the Hawks are at, particularly if you happen to be one of them, feel free to give us a call, 1-300-736-736. See how hard it is, Bob. This is how hard it is for footy clubs. People the calibre of Dale Morris, Ben Graham and Joel Corey have been told that, unfortunately, there's no positions for them at the Western Bulldogs in 2021. Imagine telling Dale Morris that. Imagine having the person have to tell Dale Morris that.
Yeah, it's had tough times in footy, Andy. Yeah,
they really, devastating. Really are. True. Your calls on the other side of this, 1-300-736-736.